Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we are trying to analyze the picture of Jesus painted by the evangelists. We saw in our last session how Luke narrates the birth of Jesus. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and he was laid in a manger because they did not get place in the inn. We have also seen that there is a similarity between the birth narrative of John the Baptist and that of Jesus. Luke was painting a parallel picture of John the Baptist and that of Jesus, both in the Annunciation as well as in the birth. But there is also a great difference between the circumstances of the two births. John the Baptist was born at home in his house. And when he was born, friends and relatives came to greet him, and there was great joy and celebration in the house. Whereas Jesus is born in the utter loneliness, outside the town, in the midst of the night. And he was born not in a house. In fact, the parents did not get a place in the inn where everybody could lodge. But this particular couple did not get a place. There was no room in the inn, it is said. So he was born outside the town, totally unnoticed by any person at all. In total darkness, total loneliness, away from the town. And that's how Luke presented the birth. And then something totally unexpected happens. We continue our reflections on the events that followed the birth of Jesus. Something totally unexpected. A heavenly vision of angels. And that appears not to the holy people, not to the well-to-do or the people of the upper class, but to a few poor shepherds. This is how Luke starts his narrative about this vision. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we read, "In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Immediately after reporting the birth of the Savior, Luke is focusing attention on a group of shepherds. Why shepherds? Why not anybody else? Various reasons can be found for Luke presenting this particular group of people as the first ones to receive the message of this great event, the good news of the birth of the Savior. We know Abraham was a shepherd. Abraham the patriarch, the ancestor of the people of Israel. He was a shepherd when he was called to be the father of the nation. His son Isaac and grandson Jacob were all shepherds. Maybe because the ancestor of the people of Israel were shepherds, now shepherds are chosen to be the first people to listen to the good news of the promises being fulfilled, the promises that were made to Abraham. It's also noteworthy that the leader, the great leader, Moses, was keeping watch over the sheep when he was called. So he was acting as a shepherd in the wilderness of Midian. David, the greatest king of Israel, was also a shepherd. He was called when he was tending the flock. So maybe because of these reasons, of connections of the people of God with the shepherds, that now the good news is addressed to them. Yahweh himself is presented as shepherd in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus, the child now born, when he grows up, will declare that I am the good shepherd. So there's a lot of connection between shepherd and shepherds. But I think there is more. Why Luke chooses this particular category of people as the ones to receive the good news as the first ones? Shepherds, we know, by the time of Jesus, were not considered as honorable people. In fact, they were considered as impure, people who were marginalized, pushed outside the margin of the society. They were considered unclean because they were tending the flock, and maybe because they were also considered as cheats and thieves. Shepherds were not famous being responsible to the owners of the sheep. The shepherds might sometimes kill and eat the sheep. They might steal the sheep. So they were considered as impure people. And besides, they were the marginalized, the poor. And maybe that is one of the main reasons why Luke chooses this particular category of people to receive the good news from the angel. So these were people keeping watch over their flock by night. Even though the society considered them as unfaithful and impure, they were faithful to their duty of watching over the sheep. They were watching over the sheep that the sheep may not be stolen or being killed by wild animals. They were dutiful people. But at the same time, they were the marginalized, waiting, keeping watch. And this night, something happened that they never expected. The angel of the Lord stood before them. We are told about this angel already twice in Luke. Luke 1:11 spoke about the angel appearing to Zechariah. Again in 1:26, the same angel, Gabriel, appearing to the young virgin at Nazareth, Mary. In both cases, the angel was bringing a message of a birth. First, the birth of the forerunner John, and second, the birth of the Messiah, Jesus. Now that the birth has occurred, the angel is sent again to bring this good news, to proclaim that news of God entering into this world as a human being. And this heavenly proclamation is done to the angels. The glory of the Lord shone around them, it is said, and they were terrified. The poor shepherds keeping watch over their sheep find themselves suddenly in the presence of the divine. God's glory, God's presence was all around them. It was totally unexpected. These simple, poor people find themselves in the presence of God and they were terrified. And that is the normal reaction of anybody in the Bible. The one who stands, one who happens to stand before God is frightened because no sinner can stand before God. And the holiness of God is so consuming, so overpowering and disturbing and destroying that they were frightened. They thought they will die. That's what happened to Moses. That's what happened to anybody who stood in the presence of the Holy One. Now comes the message. The message that is soothing. First, they replied to the fear. The angel said, "Do not be afraid." That's what God says. God doesn't come near to frighten us. God doesn't come near to destroy us. The consuming fire will purify us, but does not destroy. So don't be afraid of God. Do not be afraid. Why? Here comes the central message. I am bringing you the good news of great joy for all the people. I am bringing you the good news. There is an emphasis for you. You have been specially chosen to be the recipients of this good news. And this good news is for all the people, not for any particular individual or category of people, not for any caste or race, for all the people. the good news. The good news that tells the victory of God over evil. The word good news in the biblical tradition, especially in the Old Testament, pointed to God's victory over the powers of evil. The one who brings the good news is the one who announces that victory has been won, the enemies have been defeated, and the people are free. In Isaiah 52:7, we will read this. The one who brings the good news of salvation, the good news that the Lord has become king. Now, what is the good news the angel is bringing to this particular people? A good news of great joy. And this is it, the center of the message. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. Each word is so full of meaning. To you is born. The words is meant for you, the one who listens to the angels. He is telling the shepherds. But by this reporting this event, Luke is telling each and every one of you and me, to you is born today. The birth of the Messiah is not for anybody else but for me. Anybody, everybody can say, he is born for me today. To you is born. This day, today, today is the day. Today is when God comes into our lives. Today is when God comes to your life. When you listen to the word of this proclamation of this good news, this is the day. So the shepherds are said, told, today is born for you in the city of David, that is Bethlehem, pointing to the promise given to David through Nathan. Today in the city of David, who is born? A Savior. A Savior for whom the whole people of Israel was waiting. A Savior for whom the whole world was waiting and is still waiting. A Savior who would take away all our woes, all our worries and troubles. The Savior who would save us from sin and death. Today is born for you a Savior. And who is the Savior? Is the Messiah. We have seen the people of Israel was waiting for a Messiah, the anointed one of God. And this Messiah was supposed to be a king from the house of David. That expectation is being fulfilled in the city of David, in the house of David, the Messiah is born. And the Messiah is further specified as the Lord, the Kyrios. Kyrios is the word that translates the Hebrew word Yahweh. Yahweh was the name revealed to Moses in the context of the Exodus. Now, this name is being applied to the Messiah. The Messiah is the Lord. Three titles of honor specify and explain and interpret this particular event. He is the Savior, he is the Messiah, and he is the Lord. And this Savior, Messiah, Lord is born in the city of David, meaning he is the son of David. And this birth is for you, the angel says to the shepherds. So the shepherds who considered themselves as marginalized people, people of no standing, no importance in the society, are now specially chosen to be the recipients of this great good news. And now they are given a sign. This will be a sign for you. How to recognize the Savior? How to recognize the Savior born today? And the sign is so simple and so striking. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth lying in a manger. A child wrapped in bands of cloth or swaddling cloths. That's a human child. The emphasis on the humanity of this child. The Savior, the Lord, the Messiah, is born and lies in a manger as any other human child. The humanity, the reality of the incarnation. The Lord has become a child. God has become man. And man, in his mortality, in his fragility as a small child. And the swaddling clothes, or the bands of clothes, point to this very mortality, humanity of the child. And he is lying in a manger. That's not a place where you would expect a child to be found. He's not in the cradle. He's not lying in bed, in a manger. Manger, we know, is the place where you keep the fodder, the hay for the cattle. So that is where you keep the food. It's a symbol. The child is born and laid in the place where food is to be found. Later on, this child, when he grows up, will say, I am the bread of life. Eat me. The one who eats me will live by me. So the child born in the city of David called Bethlehem, and we know the name means the house of bread. The child is born in the house of bread, and the child is placed in a place where the food is kept, food for the cattle. And now the sign is symbol, and they can see and understand. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. The Gloria singing angels proclaim two things. Glory to God in the highest heavens. Heaven or highest heaven is supposed to be the abode of God, the realm of God, where God lives, where everything is according to his will. And here down where humans live, there he brings peace. The glory of God that shines around the shepherds now brings peace. Peace is a situation that arises out of the good favor of God, when everything is according to God's plan and will and his law. There is peace between God and man, between among humans themselves, between human beings and the nature, and among one's own self. The peace, the shalom, the well-being of unity. And this is promised to those whom he favors. There is a translation coming from the Vulgata. Peace to those of goodwill. It's not sufficient to have goodwill to be the receivers of peace. Peace is not given as a gift of goodwill. Peace is offered to everybody. And who are these people whom God favors? Everybody receives God's favor. God's favor is open to all, as it was open to the shepherds, as it was open to Zacchaeus, the publican, as it was open to the prostitute caught in adultery, or whatever. Anybody is welcome in God's house. Jesus later on would say, I have come not to call the just and the holy ones, but sinners to repentance. God's favor is freely offered to each and every one of us. It depends on us whether we receive it or not. His favor, his peace is given to those upon whom the favor of God rests. And this favor is for everybody. So response is important. Initiative comes from the part of God. God is offering, and we are the ones to receive or reject it. It depends upon us now. It depends upon the shepherds whether to accept this message or not. Now, the shepherds, what do they do? When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. The shepherds respond positively. They go to Bethlehem. So they listen, they believe, and they go. That is the response. The response of the shepherds. First response is they obey, they go. And when they see what was been promised, they make it known to others. The second response, when those who heard, all those who heard were amazed. People, we do not know whether they believed or not. The shepherds believed, and they made public what they have seen and heard. And another important reaction is that of Mary. Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. That is to be the real response which Luke expects from the readers. Treasure everything in the heart and ponder it upon it. The word of God is to be received in a noble heart. You meditate upon it, you act upon it, you live it. And that's what makes it a good news. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son as Savior and Redeemer, as the Lord and Messiah to us. We thank you for sending your angel to announce and interpret this event. Enable us to understand it. Enable us to treasure your word in our heart. Ponder upon it, act upon it, and come to your Son and receive peace. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.